You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Curtain up, theater people, and welcome to Your Program Is Your Ticket, coming to you from Midtown Manhattan, right in the middle of Broadway. My name is Sean Chandler, and I'll be your host. Your Program Is Your Ticket is a discussion of smaller theater works and the people and organizations that make it happen. As many of you know, Your Program Is Your Ticket is a helpful system where your program is literally your ticket to get into the theater in smaller, more intimate productions. It's these works we like to highlight, and it's our goal on this show to feature as many of these productions as possible while still discussing the biggies. I love theater and see as much as I can wherever I go. During the travels of the production of My Husband and My Play, At the Flash, I've met many wonderful people from all over the world in the theater community, and it is my honor to bring them on as guests to the show. Tonight's episode features an interview with New York City-based Esperance Theater Company's Ryan Quinn, Katie Hartke, who are married, and Charlie Murphy as they discuss their newest production, Bright Wish Farm, written by Jeremy J. Camps and directed by Mr. Quinn himself. Quick note, as you listen, you will hear some minor differences in audio. This interview was recorded at a separate time and location so as to accommodate the Bright Wish Farm production schedule. Not that that takes any of the enjoyment out of the experience, just letting you know in case you hear minor differences in the audio. So folks, without further ado, please enjoy my interview with Esperance Theater's Ryan Quinn, Katie Hartke, and Charlie Murphy as they discuss their production of Bright Wish Farm. Folks, please welcome to the show Ryan Quinn, Katie Hartke, and Charlie Murphy from Bright Wish Farm. Hi, gang, and welcome to Your Program Is Your Ticket.
Hi.
Hi.
So good to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you here. Tell our audience about Bright Wish Farm, please.
It's a brand new play by Jeremy J. Camps. I think at its heart, it's like does one of what the best kind of classical plays do. It's very universal and it speaks about home and family. But it's very topical right now because it kind of speaks to the voice of what the people refer to as the flyover country of Wisconsin, and the kind of takes place in 2011 when Scott Walker and the Tea Party was moving in, and it feels very much like how the Trump Party started. And it deals with immigrants working on a farm, but at its heart, again, it's about family and who belongs to a home and who has ownership over that home. And when you find a home and when you find a family and you find a place to belong, what happens when it's gone?
I think it's really cool because it's, you know, even as we've been thinking about marketing it and, you know, what the story is about, like a lot of classical plays, it's got, you know, a number of different stories to it, right? It's like, if you say, what's King Lear about? Somebody will say, it's a story of two brothers fighting, or it's three sisters, or it's, you know, an old man. And I think there's a lot of that in that. It's an ensemble play, so there's so many different storylines, and it sort of does all sort of coalesce into this story. But I do think you can look at it from a bunch of different angles, and it is a political play. It is a play about home. It is a play about sort of all these different things that are going on today.
And wow. I also think it might be fun to know for some people out there that our playwright, Jeremy, was inspired by Anton Chekhov's The Cherry Orchard, right. Which also, of course, has a lot of themes of home and community and what happens as progress makes its way in and the world that you knew is suddenly not that world anymore, and how you shift and adapt and who can shift and adapt and who has difficulty with that.
We always joke because our logo is, we took from a line from Hamlet, there's a special providence in the fall of a sparrow. And so our logo is a sparrow that's kind of aspiring, living in Esperance towards hope. And there's a great quote by Chekhov that says, what is a life? That's like asking, what is a carrot? So it kind of feels like Chekhov would say to us, your sparrow is just a bird, right? And so it's kind of fun, that idea of all these characters pushing and aspiring and living in hope, but a world that kind of might be conspiring to do the opposite of that.
Sort of beating them down, suppressing them. Wow. And tell me about your theater company, Esperance Theater Company.
I think we were most inspired. All of us met at the Hudson Valley Shakespeare Festival, and I think we were inspired by a company. We all worked together, Katie and I, since 2003. We've done, I think, nine seasons together at the Hudson Valley Shakespeare Festival. Wow. So we got to know the actors and the crew and the directors. And speaking of home, we got to know the soil and the dirt of that place. And because of that, there were just shows that no other company could do, right? Like, we knew each other inside and out. And on top of that, the audience knew us. Like, we came in as young actors and they watched us grow up and get married and then have a baby. Mm-hmm. And there was something about that connective tissue to each other and to the audience that, like, we really loved. And we wanted we were at the point in our careers where we were excited to kind of be the voice to create that company and that community for our audience and for our talented group of colleagues and friends that we wanted to work together with.
So you're a married couple.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's it like to be a married couple and creating your own theater company together?
Yo, I mean, it's amazing. It's the best because, you know, the love that we have for each other as people also is probably what brought us together and our love for what we think of the theater's about. But the hard thing is, like, when we get home, we still want to be talking about theater and business.
Right.
We got to be like, okay, we got to put that aside for just a second to talk about other things and you know, live our lives as a married couple and not just married theater producers. You know?
Wow. Yeah. But it is, as Ryan said, it's incredibly special. We feel really fortunate to be able to do this. And you know, now that we have our daughter who's a little over a year and a half, it's become a whole new level of how do we continue to make this happen?
We did a workshop the show before this of Romeo and Juliet and Macbeth that we called Youth and Ambition. And there's a great video because she was like maybe 9 months old. And so we just have her strapped to us as we're doing a dance call. And she's just like waving and singing and having the best time with it. So she is now a company member of Esperance as well.
Yeah. Right. And she's adorable too.
Oh,
I did a little Facebook stuff.
Oh no.
It's kind of part of my job.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's very, very, very cute.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. We're partial, but we think so, too.
That's terrific. How are rehearsals going for Bright Wish Farm?
Awesome.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, one of the fun, awesome challenges of doing this is we're doing it on an equity showcase code, which means that we're only allotted a certain amount of hours and amount of time to get it up and ready. But we have just been blessed, and I know that, you know, that hashtag blessed, but like with the crew and the ensemble of actors that we have and the team of designers, and I think every day that we come in we're just really inspired by how much they're bringing to the table and what they're creating in front of our eyes. And I know Jeremy is just thrilled with where we're at and the things that are going on.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I love everyone's attitude. I mean, we've sort of jokingly taken to calling any struggles or anything. We call them opportunities, right? But
sure.
I think especially in art, there's something really true about that of like, well, we're not going to have this thing. Or if we had 20 hours, we'd do this. But otherwise, we're going to listen and talk and we're going to have this thing and it's going to be an apple because we say it's an apple. And then, you know, in some ways it helps make feet are different from what from film and TV, right? It helps make it feel like, yeah, we have to imagine, we have to sort of strive for something, as opposed to it's all set and done and perfect and, you know, all the things if we had, you know, a year to rehearse with.
Yeah, and I think we strive in a way to make sure the audience is like complicit in the event. And so the more that we can create that world for them to imagine, right, to kind of go with us, to not fill in all the pieces for them, the at least for me, the more fun I have as an audience member. And those are the shows that stay with me. And I remember I also often joke around this, I wish every play was Our Town, because there's something that's really fun about having to create the event of the evening right in front of everybody's eyes.
Yeah. Our Town is very nimble.
Yeah.
It can be performed so many different ways.
Yeah.
As was proven by the David Cromer production.
That's right. Like, that's right.
Yeah. It was 10, 12 years ago. There's something great about theater as opposed to film, where you don't have to be so literal. And it does provide so many opportunities for the audience to use their imagination. And I've interviewed so many people who have said our challenges created some of our brightest moments of genius.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you have to get creative.
Yeah.
You have to do something that's different. Are you finding a lot of that in the show? Are you finding that, like, oh, this is better than I ever thought it would be if I would have just stuck to maybe my first decision?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like that's, I think, probably why we wanted to do this stuff, like, for those things to come up. And I don't want to give anything away about the show, but the show, reading it on the script, I mean, Jeremy's heart is big and imaginative, but some of it reads on the script as being very literal, mm-hmm. with the amount of props and the amount of the sheen shifts and the locations and the things that you have with it. And so there was that fun opportunity that we are not a big, you know, we are a scrappy little young theater company that knew that we couldn't do that going in. So we had to look for those opportunities to leap and use our imagination to complete the picture.
Literally this morning, Ryan was like curling up the wrapping paper and he goes, does this look like corn to you? Like, yeah, that looks like corn, right? But also, like, if it was literal corn, it could never be good enough to feel real, right? There's no, like, if we had a prop corn or had some plastic thing or something, right? But, like, absolutely, you know, when he's making little twisties and that now we're saying it's corn and you're just going to believe it, right? That sort of is what theater is.
That's terrific. Now, I just walked through your stage and your set, and it looks really cool and really different.
Yeah, we love it.
Talk about that.
Well, our I mean, that's the work of our designer, Alexander, and we were walking around the space, and he first had this idea that we would open up a children's toy chest, right, and so that everything would start to happen from there, and then we just started spitballing on ideas, and landed on what you see out there, that it, as we were talking about, the play is about home and about family, and so it starts in the matriarch who you never meet and Connie's attic. And so all of the stories and all of the scenes start with things that have come from the attic that we're bringing in to use to create the moment.
Yeah. That's really neat, because, correct me if I'm wrong, but it feels like you're taking props and moments from another time frame within your play and associating them with this new time frame.
Yeah.
Is that what's going on?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that concept.
Thanks, man. We do too. Yeah.
That's amazing. Now, I read that your playwright, Jeremy J. Camps, started writing the play back in 2010, 2011.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if I read correctly, a lot of it was inspired by a trip to India.
Yeah. Yes. I forgot that. That's right.
I did too.
He talked a little bit about that, like, seeing a lot of people in poverty but sort of rising up into the middle class, I think,
right,
really let him start thinking about what is happening to the disappearing American middle class and especially, you know, just that feeling of social climbing or the ability to rise and how that is lost, it feels like, I think a lot of Americans feel like, the dream isn't there. I can't, right? You know, there's a lot of talk about the American dream and can I pull myself up by my bootstraps and maybe stuff that we would have felt 50 years ago that was possible, which I think most people maybe don't feel that way quite as much. So in some ways it's kind of about that.
And I think it's also really neat. Jeremy and Ryan are both from Wisconsin. Ryan from a larger town in Wisconsin, but Jeremy is from a pretty rural area of Wisconsin. So a lot of this story is based around just his upbringing, not necessarily specific people, but the feeling of it, mm-hmm. and that area of Wisconsin and that, you know, mindset. But it's really neat. He drops in these little specific moments of things that actually happened. There was a march in Madison, in the Capitol, when Scott Walker was trying to take away the pension and rights of the teacher union. And Ryan and I were actually there for that. And we marched in the Capitol. And Jeremy just drops it in just lightly at one point in the script. It's discussed for a few lines. And he does that throughout the play. So it's also based in these real moments in history of 2010, 2011.
And speaking of a big historical moment, the Packers winning the Super Bowl,
yes,
too.
Yes, of course.
And so what he's done this amazing thing, too. So one of the scenes is the Super Bowl, and it almost, like, frame by frame by frame of events that happened in the game to, like, play out in front of us, too. So for some of us who are big Packer fans, it's very exciting to hear those
and
moments.
Of course, these guys are Packers fans. I'm a Steelers fan. So every time Ryan, directing the show, reads the direction, he's like, Super Bowl! He looks right at me, because, of course, the Packers beat the Steelers in that Super Bowl. But, you know, I just get to relive it every night. You know,
I love that sort of behind-the-scenes, those moments that you're having with each other.
Yeah.
It's really nice to get sort of a peek into that,
yeah,
and have,
yeah,
people hear about that. Yeah. So is the time frame of the play current, modern day, or does it take place back in the 2010-2011 time?
2011. So, okay. Yeah, so it all takes place then. I think that, you know, when we were talking at the beginning, that idea of our town, I think within the quality of 2011, the very specific details that make up what 2011 was about, from that as a leaping off place, to speak about, like, universal themes, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, what's really fun about it is that, you know, and he wrote this, you know, before Trump, before there were, I don't want to give too much of the play away, but before,
yeah, no spoilers.
Yeah, but before a lot of the things that you're going to see in the play start happening, Jeremy was writing into, wow, the play. And so we did the first reading of it. It was his thesis. He was a playwright at NYU, and it was his thesis. And there were a few actors that were, Katie and Will were all in that reading we did at the beginning. And so it was kind of fun to see Jeremy kind of having his finger on the pulse and being a little bit of a prophet of seeing,
right,
what was going to happen. So it's a little bit weird that, like, he kind of put all, you know, that he knew that the world was spinning in this direction.
Mm. And it feels like it's been so changed by Trump, even though Jeremy's done nothing to change it, right? Like, there's a little, maybe would have been a little political vein through the thing, which is examining what is happening to these people. Where's the anger behind what would lead to Scott Walker? Which I think if Trump ever happens, you would think of that as a little slice of the play. It's impossible now not to view, I think, this through, you know, I play a Republican politician who, like, is a little bit an analog for Scott Walker, an analog for Paul Ryan. But now, of course, everything is so viewed through the lens of Trump that it becomes an exploration of Trumpism, even if that wasn't what Jeremy was originally intended.
Yeah,
and, you know, we would say, like, has it changed at all? He goes, no, I'm not changing it at all. I haven't added anything to,
wow.
But you just can't, at least I can't watch the play and not see, oh my God, this is what happened in West Virginia. This is what happened in Michigan. This is what happened to these disillusioned people, you know, even though that's not at all what he was intending when he wrote it, you know, way back when.
I've heard that so many times from playwrights that I've interviewed, that there's sort of like this prophetic, there's a syndrome of prophecies that's going on. I'm a writer myself and just wrote a musical for about the election that occurred last year, and things that I wrote last year are like popping up,
yeah,
now, and I hear that from so many different people.
Yeah.
Part of me thinks, well, maybe that's history repeating itself, and part of me just thinks, well, maybe it's just a predictable administration.
Yeah.
Now, Esperance Theater Company, what I read on your website, you strive to connect modern day people to the classics.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go about that?
Well,
what are your techniques?
This is actually our first full production of a contemporary play. Before this, our first production was Twelfth Night, Shakespeare's Twelfth Night,
mm-hmm.
and we did a workshop, a pretty produced workshop last year of, Ryan had mentioned it before, something we entitled Youth and Ambition, the Morality Mash of Romeo, Juliet, and the Macbeths. And we, Ryan did a very, very intelligent 1 hour cutting of each play. And the first act was Romeo and Juliet, and the second act was Macbeth, with five actors kind of banging up against each other, little intermission in between to give a little break and palate cleanse, but to really examine what happens in the young mind and the young emotional heart, and then what can happen when you step into this later stage of life. And for Twelfth Night, to hop back to that, we approached it from a very musical perspective, where the play itself lends itself to that. It has a lot of music, lyrics anyway, written into it. So we took that and ran with it, and had two brilliant actor musicians compose the music for it. And it was a very ensemble. Everything that we've done is very ensemble driven. Mm-hmm. For Twelfth Night and Youth and Ambition, everyone was on stage.
So I think we look for truth and mm-hmm. size and things that are universal. And I think for this one, even though it's contemporary, it was inspired by Chekhov's Cherry Orchard.
Right.
And so I think that's the thread to us with this, as we start to look at contemporary stuff too, to look for those big themes that make us, that put us in a specific place, but that I can look at it and I relate to the character that Charlie plays, even though that's not my political leanings nor how I would talk about things. I can relate to him. And so it's so specifically Wisconsin, and it's, you know, in some ways a love letter to Wisconsin, but at the same time, it's a love letter to America. It's a, you know, that there's something hopefully in the audience that everybody connects to. And I think that, for me, is what makes a play classical.
And I think in terms of our company as a whole, what we do with classical work, I think there is something that we all three really share very strongly of, like, classical theater is not meant for the elite. It's not meant for snobby, oh, very well pronounced Shakespeare or whatever, right? We have a lot of fancy training in that room, and none of us want to say classical theater in a way that feels like it's for a certain class of people, right? And so, you know, not only in at least shows Ryan's have directed, there's no fourth wall or anything like that. Not only that, and in terms of how lean it is, we're really trying not to separate ourselves from the audience, right? We all sort of believe in the kind of theater that's, we're all in a room, we're storytellers, I'm trying to tell you a story as easily as possible and without separating, you know, me as some character from 400 years ago. I'm Hamlet right now, and we're dealing with the same stuff. But I think that's sort of, we all sort of have
absolutely
that same shared.
Yeah. I interviewed a Canadian Shakespearean actor on the show. Her name is Carly Street. She was out here covering the two leads in Marvin's Room, and she says that sort of the flowering of the classics mm-hmm. of Shakespeare have in certain ways muddled it a little bit, and she said the best way to get it through to the audience is just be direct,
yeah,
and be conversational
yeah.
about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, she said, you know, put yourself in the place of these people who are back, who were alive back when Shakespeare was alive. It was, and she said a lot of it was environment too,
yeah.
Which is, it was cold and everybody was just moving about their business and very, very direct with each other.
Yeah.
And to me, that makes a lot of sense.
And also there's no fourth wall then when Shakespeare is doing it too.
Right.
So we were communicating, I needed you, if I'm doing soliloquy, I need you to answer me.
And the ground line is often wood from what
we hear. Yeah, I need you to be part of my story. It, like, if you don't connect with me, if you don't answer my questions, I'm not going to be able to solve my problem. And there's something so exciting
about that. Requesting the audience to speak back. I just want to be clear. When we talk, you just sit there silently.
Yeah.
You can think thoughts back at us.
I personally really like the fourth wall. So.
Oh, no! All right, well, that's the rest of the interview. It's a fight about that.
Right, exactly.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What would you like your audiences to leave with emotionally, mentally, after seeing Brightwish Farm?
I mean, Ryan has mentioned it a few times, and I know this is very important to Jeremy too, but I think it is about, it's about home and family and community and all the many aspects of that, good and bad. At the heart of this story is a family that has been on this family farm for generations, and a lot of factors have contributed to this farm slowly coming apart in some ways. In some ways it's flourishing, in other ways it's very much on the decline. But it's how this group of people, both blood family and chosen family, how they deal with the fluctuations that life is bringing their way, and some to success, some not as much, but that the fight to stay connected,
yeah,
emotionally and almost physically to the earth, I think is an incredibly powerful theme in this play, and I think something that we hope our audience will leave with, this idea of I'm connected,
yeah,
to people and community.
To question what is your value system, to stay connected to your community and to stay connected to the world, right? I mean, I think that's a big, I think in some ways that actors and artists are your empathy personal trainers, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that there's something about that, if like we're really making you question, how do I stay connected to a community, or how were my values placed in me, right, that makes me see this person in that way, like why do I think those things in the way that I do? And so like we're trying to do a very hard job that everybody in the play has a valid argument with that other person, right? That we're not, there aren't scapegoats, and there aren't like, we can put that party to the side because we're already going to shut down and not listen to them.
And if there's one thing, I mean, Jeremy is so good at that light touch and of really empathizing with all of his characters. So as soon as you want to go, okay, this is the one who's right and this one is wrong, he'll find some way to go, here's a little help for you too. So that it never flips over. It never feels like we're telling you this is what you should feel or this is what you think. I think really a lot of audience members are going to come and pull different things from it.
Yeah.
For the little political elements of it, like I keep being told, whether it's people coming from Wisconsin, one of our cast members has family coming from Florida who are very conservative immigrants, and they were sure. Saying, oh, they're going to agree with everything you say. I was like, no way. He's like, they're going to be on your side completely. On my side, which is the sort of more conservative side. And I think I think Jeremy would want that. I don't think you should, you're not meant to be left feeling at the end of the play, I'm judging these characters and I like this character. I think we are showing you a whole story, and then, you know, you pick from it what you will.
That's terrific. I saw Perestroika last night, half of Angels in America. Terrific, terrific show. And I was having a conversation with a lady next to me. We were talking about the very nature of that quality of theater, that if it's done really, really well, you're going to be feeling a lot of different things about each character. And just when you think you know, you don't.
Yeah.
And that's terrific. Now, I want to rewind before, we're almost out of time, and I'm going to have you give your social media information, but I want to rewind. You said actors and artists are the...
Your empathy personal trainers.
Did you make that up?
I think I did. I want to take credit for it, but like you never know where these ideas come from. But I think I did make that up.
Yeah. I'll take credit. That's awesome.
Oh, thanks, man.
You should probably trademark that.
Yeah,
it's a long, drawn out process, but that is. That's terrific.
Thanks, man.
On that note, can you give our audiences your social media information? And I understand you've added some performances.
Yes, that's great, due to
great ticket sales. You know, our audience has been awesome in terms of, we asked them, hey, please show up opening weekend, and we basically sold out opening weekend already.
Nice.
Which is just so cool for us.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's amazing.
It's very exciting.
Yeah.
Very
so
cool.
we have two additional performances we just added yesterday, on next Saturday and the Saturday after. That's the 10th and the 17th.
Both at 7:30 p.m.
Both at 7:30 p.m. Exactly, yeah.
Terrific. So where can people go to find tickets to those performances and others?
Great. So a couple of places. First, you can stop by our website at www.esperancetheatercompany.org. We spell theater with an E-R.
Thank you for clarifying.
Yes, I know.
I'm just going to ask.
There are two options there. That was our choice.
It was like 2 months of debate.
E-R. It's 50-50, yeah. I have to say. Yes. I always have to be aware of that.
So that's esperancetheatercompany.org. You can follow us on Facebook at Esperance Theater Company. Our Twitter handle is EsperanceNYC, and you can find us on Instagram at Esperance Theater Company.
And on Instagram, it's an Ari. Just so.
Oh, yeah, yes. Thank you for clarifying that.
That's not true. I'm just joking.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah, no, no. It's a joke.
I was like, is ER taken?
I know. That would be the worst switch to make. No.
Well, you three have been delightful.
Likewise.
Thank you. I really, really appreciate you being on your program, It's Your Ticket. And I wish you many, many broken legs and appendages. How exciting that this is your first modern play.
Yeah.
It's really cool. You must be...
And special thrilled. That it's Jeremy. I mean, we go all the way back to college, and it just feels like the best for me to be able to bring this play into the world. It's really special.
That's great. I'd love to have him on the show as well.
Yeah.
Sometime.
Maybe I'll connect with him and see if I can't get him.
Absolutely.
Thank you for being with us, Ryan Quinn, Katie Hartke, and Charlie Murphy from Bright Wish Farm.
Weren't they awesome? And what an interesting and topical play. So go see it. I know I'm going to. Again, you can find information and tickets for the show at EsperanceTheaterCompany.org. That's theater with an E-R. Again, EsperanceTheaterCompany.org. Thanks once again to my guests, New York City-based Esperance Theater Company's Ryan Quinn, Katie Hartke, and Charlie Murphy. You can find more episodes of Your Program Is Your Ticket at Facebook.com, Your Program Is Your Ticket. I'm on Twitter at Program Ticket. The website is YourProgramIsYourTicket.com. I'm also on YouTube. Search me out at Your Program Is Your Ticket. There's some really fun videos on there, and I think you'll like them. I'm on iTunes and SoundCloud. Rate me, write me a review, and subscribe. It helps my profile, and I appreciate it. Folks, take a little time to see a show this week, and don't forget to give a smaller show some love. There's lots of theater gems out there. Until our next show, good night, theater people, and curtain.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.